Hello, welcome to Malkier Talks, a Wheel of Time theory podcast. Today, we are talking Wheel of Time pronunciation, languages, dialects, swearing, all sorts of fun stuff. And I felt if we're going to do this, we should bring on a couple of experts. So firstly, I'd like to introduce one of the Gleemen, Vance. Say hello, Vance.
Hey, everybody. This is Vance from the Gleemen on YouTube. Happy to be here, ready to break in and talk some dialects and hopefully some common mispronunciations.
Yeah, I think we can definitely crack into that. And no discussion of pronunciations would be complete without the one and only super sleuth of Discord that everybody knows and is our superstar. I think she mods in just about everybody's Discord pretty much. The one and only, please welcome Zool.
Thank you very much. I am not an expert. Don't let him fool you. I'm a longtime fan and I love language. So I do get a little picky about pronunciations. And I do love to look things up and learn new things about the Wheel of Time and share that with people, especially, you know, first time readers. So.
Yeah, first-time readers is something Zool is very passionate about, not spoiling them. You are deaf on spoilers, aren't you, Zool?
Yes, absolutely. I'm mortified to spoil them for anything in the Wheel of Time.
Well, I feel today might have, at worst, mild spoilers if we discuss words, but we won't discuss them in terms of lots of context, so I don't think we're going to have too many issues with spoilers today, but we'll see how we go, and then we can figure out whether we can let first-time readers listen to the show or not. I'm glad to have you both here. I think this is going to be a lot of fun, and speaking of pronunciation, shall we sort of start there with the most common ones? Vance, what are the ones you hear the most of?
So I think this is low-hanging fruit because it's right from the beginning of Eye of the World, but one of the most common mispronunciations, especially new readers have, is I think with Nynaeve's name. And this is one that's near and dear to my heart because for probably the first two books, for whatever reason, when I was a kid, I pronounced her name as Nynaeve in my head. Just never really took the time to sound it out. I just kind of read right through. And that's what she was to me until I heard another fan say her name. And I was like, wait, can you pronounce that again? And they're like, Nynaeve? And I was like, Nynaeve? Oh, I see where I flipped some letters around there. Gotcha. Uh-huh. So that one is, I'm quite partial to it. And, I would never make fun of a new reader for that because, you know, I've made that same mistake, but definitely want to let them know very quickly that if you want people to not make fun of you, this is the correct way to say this name.
Oh, wow. Zool, what pops into your mind first when you hear mispronunciations?
Well, for me, I said Nynaeve, by the way. And the first couple of books I read did not have glossaries in them. I don't know what edition that was. There were paperbacks and they didn't have glossaries. So when I finally got a glossary, I was like, oh my goodness, I have been so wrong on so many things. So for me, Egwene, because I said Egwene, I think. Mm-hmm. And then Aes Sedai is the next one for me. So I said Aes Sedai or Aes Sedai, something like that. And I think a lot of people did that. They don't know how to say that. It's kind of a weird looking word. And my favorite one to get new people to say is that city, that country that begins with a C, Kyrian. That is my favorite.
You mean Kahin? Like,
oh, yes. Karahine?
Kyrian?
Yes, that one. Yes, that's it. Absolutely. And then you start talking about the people and you add that I-N on the end and it really messes people up.
It is a lot of fun.
Karianen? Kerhinian? What is that? I don't get it. You know. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so looking forward to getting to that segment and asking that question. Vance, I'm totally with you on the 9E thing. I pronounced it exactly the same way in my head,
Oh, wow.
and I didn't change it until I listened to the Audible books with Kate Redding and Michael Kramer. And it wasn't until I listened to that I was like, damn, I'm so glad I don't have anyone to discuss the books with, because I would have been saying this wrong for decades.
Yep. I
Oh.
mean, I found even as I went through the later books, which I converted from reading the books to doing on audio, so I could read, not read, but experience the story while I was on my morning commute, that I found I was still pronouncing character names wrong, even in those later books. So I was like, oh, I'm happy I've made this transition to the audio form, because most people will probably have listened to these at least in passing if they're fans. And so these are going to be the, quote unquote, standard pronunciations. And I was quite happy that I discovered that little nugget later on in my reading.
It's quite an interesting journey. I mean, I at one point didn't, because I'm terrible for skim reading. So sometimes I can be really shocking. And Zoe, you've picked me up for this as well, because I can slip and sometimes say Lewis instead of lose. And
Yes.
I know that's one that
Yes.
drives you mad.
Yes, it is. And that is a category I would like to touch on in a bit.
Okay.
Those names that are similar to names we have now, but have maybe one letter dropped or changed, that is an entire category that Robert Jordan has. One of the things that you have is you have, influences supposedly from different cultures. And I'm very interested to see what the show is going to do with Moraine or Moiraine, because she's Kyrianan and that's supposed to have some sort of French influence. I think it says in the glossary Moiraine, like Moi, moi. I don't know anyone who says it that way.
I do not either, actually. I happen to have a book next to me, so I am searching moi. Do you know what? It actually says moi, as in MWMWAH, as in a kiss. Moi, moi,
Moi.
rain, with moi, rain, with the emphasis on the rain as well. So, I mean, I don't know if
Moraine.
anybody else. I always say Moraine. I don't. So, oh, we seem to have lost Zul there for a second. I'm sure she'll pop back in.
Yes, yeah, probably just a blip. But I'm right there with you, Rob. I kind of put that together with like the like it's spelled her name has the MOI. So it's like, well, that's like moi in French. But I said that's cumbersome to pronounce while reading. And so I'm just gonna say Moraine because that's a real name and I know that one. So that was just my personal choice.
Yeah, it would be interesting if they sort of go the heavy sort of French influence in the TV show. They've already tweaked Leanne. There we go. Zul has come back.
Yay.
Okay, yes, I'm back. I don't know what
That's
happened.
okay.
It just disconnected.
The joy of recording, it happens. So we're just discussing that we've never made the heavy sort of French influence like moi rain or anything like that. But it would be interesting if they brought it back for the TV show. I don't know how people would react.
Well, I do know that they are going to allow some people to choose to use their own accents. So
Oh.
that will be interesting. I've heard Rafe say that rather than forcing people to like you're from here and you have to conform to this accent, it's kind of like he's letting people choose their own accent, which is very odd to me. I'm interested to see how they're going to do that if people are supposed to be from particular countries.
Well, yeah, Egwene is she's from New Zealand. Is she from the actress from New Zealand or Australia?
Australia.
Australia. Australia, she's.
The actress for Nynaeve is from New Zealand.
Yes, she's a Kiwi.
Okay, that's why I'm getting them mixed up. But yeah, that would be interesting if they kept their accents, wouldn't it? Because that's quite a different accent to, I don't know, a European or an American
Right. And
accent.
then you have Yasha, who is playing Rand, and he is Dutch. Is that correct?
That's I believe so. That sounds right to me.
I believe he's grown up in the Netherlands, yes.
Yes. Okay. And they're supposedly all from the same small village. So we'll see what they do with that. Do you want to talk about some more names that people generally get wrong?
Yeah, let's stick with that for the moment. I feel like you have one to put forward, Zul, in that case.
Well, here's one that I definitely got wrong. I said Manetheran.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it supposed to be?
Manetheran.
Manetheran. Manethrandrel. Yeah. And I don't know when I heard it. Maybe I might have heard it on a podcast and I was like, what? What? You know, It's like that and Land's last name. I just tend to put the accents on different syllables, maybe on the first one as opposed to other ones. So I said like Mandragoran instead of Mandragoran.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So sometimes it's just a matter of where you put the accent. So talking about Lan, let's get into his name pronunciation.
I love this. So I am looking in the glossary before we discuss the TV show section of it. And if we go with the full name, the Alan, it is emphasized L-A-N.
Yes.
So Alan, Mandragoran.
Mm-hmm.
So that is, the emphasis is on the D-R-A-G in his last name. And it is emphasized Lan. It's not written phonetically to say L-A-W-N as the TV show has implied, but we've discussed that with Zul.
Or L-A-H-N, which is Lan.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it's not that way in the glossary.
No.
So why do you think they might change it for the show? Because I have my theories.
Well, you go first, Vance. If you've got something.
Well,
if not, I can go. That's
fine. Yeah, no. So just, I do have something. First, I want to say it is Lan to me, the shortened version of his name. Lan, there's no
yeah.
W.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think if we're going to go with they're going to keep it consistent with his Alan, pronunciation of his full first name, then it would make sense to maybe call him Lan just from a consistency point of view. That said, I hope they don't do that, but I have a feeling that's what we're going to get.
It's interesting that they would use his full first name as opposed to the shortened version of it.
Well, they would still use the shortened version, but to keep the pronunciation consistent with the full version of his name, instead of calling him like Alan, blah, 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 it would be Alan and then call him Lan for short, and that it keeps the pronunciation consistent.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I see what you're saying.
So in that regard, I would prefer it to not be that way because he's Lan to me and he will always be Lan to me. But that said,
Lan the man.
Yep. Lan the man. He is Lan the man, Mandragoran. So.
Sorry. I know we've discussed this, Zul, but the point you've just raised about actors and actresses being able to keep their own accents has made me think about Rosamund Pike a little bit and her accent. She's very like her pronunciation is very crisp, very
proper,
very proper. Yes, that's a good word for it.
RP. She's close to RP.
She's very well spoken and has quite, for want of a better phrase, just a posh accent, doesn't she? So if she were keeping her accent in that respect, which would fit with her character, I would feel as well, her background and stuff, that she would say, Lan in a very posh manner. And that fits in with our discussion about how they might pronounce it. So I'm kind of leaning on that now, to be honest, as opposed to just, your point was very good as well, Vance, and I hadn't considered that, and that does fit, but I'm definitely leaning on the maybe Rosamund Pike has influenced how they pronounce the name. What's your idea?
Well, I happen to agree with both of you. I've heard Sarah Nakamura, who is the book nerd, resident book nerd for the TV show. She talked about working with someone who is working on making the pronunciation consistent. So we know that there are inconsistencies within Robert Jordan's writing and between the way things are written in the glossary, the way they're done in the audiobooks, the way they are said, possibly with the old tongue versus the common tongue, and so, and in different parts of the world. And so they're trying to make things consistent. So she gave the example of, is it Rand Althor or Althor? Mm-hmm. Althor, Althor. Mm-hmm. So if they went with Rand Althor, then they, you know, might go with all, or if they went Althor, then is it like Alan Mandragoran, Alan Mondragoran? Like, they, you know, say, like, they try to make it more consistent. Mm-hmm. So I agree with Vance in that sense, but I also agree with you, because I think if you say his name with a little bit of more of a British accent, then you're going to get that Lan Mandragoran. It's not going to be Lan. You know, it's not Lan. It just doesn't sound right in that accent. And so, and if she is Kyrian and nobility and he is Borderlander nobility, it's possible that their accents will be more posh. It's possible.
I agree.
So that could be a reason. And I'm very, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to the most, is seeing what they're going to do with the pronunciations.
I'm envisioning a whole section of the fandom being, it's Lan, it's Lan. And another section of the fandom being, it's Lan, it's Lan. This is, that's quite amusing. We've got a great fandom. Oh, and yeah. Facebook aside, they're all very friendly. And, you know, it's not like hate or, you know, too much of just negative stuff going on. But that could be a fun little battle going on, couldn't it? I see people changing their Twitter handles.
And I think people will draw lines. There are people who swear that the audiobook, whatever it says, is the right way to say it. And there are people who say, no, the audiobook differs from the glossary. So the glossary is what is the right way to say it. And then someone else will say, well, I have this clip of Robert Jordan once saying it this way. And so that's the right way to say it. So you that's why there's so much confusion, I believe.
Yes.
And then, of course, there's headcanon, which could be anyway.
Right.
So I'm kind of looking forward to the possibility that people will gravitate toward whatever the show decides on, so that we'll have something to rally around. Okay, let's all agree on this. I know we won't all agree, but you know what I'm saying? And I think that will kind of bring everybody together some. If you hear it, it's more likely to change the way you say it.
Right? Yeah, I definitely feel that the TV show is going to be successful. And we all know that, you know, successful TV shows pull in, generally speaking, there are exceptions, obviously, more fans than physical books.
Yes.
So there, I would not be surprised if there were eventually more Wheel of Time fans out there that have watched a TV show than have ever read the books. So just in sheer numbers of people using that way of saying names and the places, I think we'll just get overwhelmed and it will slowly just become a small part of the fandom that we're like, it's been my headcanon for 35 years. I'm sticking with it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's totally valid, honestly. I mean, you know, ultimately, and what I think everyone tries to tell the fandom is that don't get too hung up on details. Just try to enjoy the show for what it is, because it's another turning, right? We always have the books to go back to. If you don't like something they do, you don't like the way they pronounce things, just go back to the books later on. That's still there for you. You don't have to change how you feel about the books. No one's telling you that, right? And I think people just have this sense of ownership about everything connected to it, because it means so many things to so many different people. And yeah, it's going to be interesting, like, to see the reactions to some of these pronunciations. Obviously, you know, people who come in to watch the show who've never read the books aren't going to be bringing all this baggage. There's going to be a bit of a culture clash, I think, with the old fans and the new fans. And I think this was represented in the fans of A Song of Ice and Fire book series and the fans of a Game of Thrones television show as well. So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting to watch all this play out.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be really, as you say, really interesting to see how they change some of the words and pronunciations, and as you said, the making it all consistent. The Rand Althor is the perfect example of that, because, you know, Rand Althor and then Alan Garin, you know, that's two different ways of saying this, you know, mm-hmm. an A and an L.
Which is old tongue, and mm-hmm. it should be the right. same.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think that is where they're trying to find some consistent way to do it so mm-hmm. that you don't have the, you know, is it Han Solo or Han Solo? Now, I have no trouble with having someone who supposedly has a different accent in the show saying something differently just because it's their accent.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So true. Like, this is the baseline. This is basically what it is, but this person's accent is different. So they say things differently because it's mm-hmm. their accent. Mm-hmm. That makes sense to me. And that makes the world feel bigger.
Yeah. Very, very true.
I have some bones to pick with Robert Jordan on his spelling.
Do we want to move into that category? I'm fine to move on.
Are we there yet?
Yes. Go for it.
Okay. Cause I don't want to be the total driver behind this conversation, but
No, it's fine. I love the way you were like, I've got bones to pick with Robert Jordan. And I'm like, I'm getting comfy. I want to listen to this.
I'm here for this one. Let's go. I want to hear the proposal.
I have some bones to pick with Robert Jordan. And first of all, RJ, why did you give us Bail Domon, Era Domon, and the Domani, and then the Domane, mm-hmm. right? So why did you do this to us? Because so in my mind, what I had to do to differentiate between the Domani and the Domane was, in my mind, I had to put the accent on a different mm-hmm. syllable for Domine. So like Maroth Domine, mm-hmm. as right. opposed to Domane, because that's so close to Domani. And so I just, Robert, why did you do this to us? Right. The other one for me is AI, the letters AI yes. together. So can you think of a name that has AI in it that you probably said wrong?
All of them?
Yes, I would agree with that. At some point or another.
AI.
Well, I mean, like, so Aes Sedai is obviously the first one with the AI yes. at the end, because it's clearly, like, we know it's supposed to be pronounced die at the end, but I assume there's a fair amount of people out there who could also, this being fantasy, see it as pronounced as like day, even.
Yes.
And yeah. I do know that I can't bring up an example right off the top of my head, but I do know that there are some instances of his AI appearing in the middle of a word where it's pronounced as if it's day and not die. And that does throw me.
Okay. So Moiraine is A.
Ah, there it is.
So there it is, right?
Yep.
And in Aes Sedai, he has in his pronunciation guide, I for the first part, the A-E-S, mm-hmm. he has E-Y-E, right?
Yes.
Okay. And so that's I, obviously, and then Sedai. So they're spelled differently. You have A-E and you have A-I. Okay, so that's why do they have the same sound? They're spelled differently. And you could spell it any way you want. And then you have, is it Elida or is it Elida?
Good one.
Or is it Elida? Because I said Elida to begin with, and then I changed to Elida, probably because I heard someone else say it. But in the pronunciation guide, the lie is not L-E-Y-E like the I said I. It's L-Y. So right. the pronunciation guide is confusing. Why didn't they just use the same pronunciation guide you find in a dictionary? Mm-hmm. You know, Robert, these people are reading 15 books. They're smart enough to, you know, use that pronunciation guide that you would find in any dictionary. Right. Use it. It's don't make it more confusing. Then there's Fael and Taim. Okay.
Or Tame, as I called him.
Tame and Fael. Fael.
Fael. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Fael and Tame.
Fael. Fael.
Yeah.
Tame. So the same AI, but it's two sounds now. A-E. And the same with Aiel.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right. So he's using different, you know, rules for these words. Now, to be fair, Fael and Taim are both Saldean. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's a Saldean custom in the way they say things. Hmm.
Saldaean.
Somebody look that up because I don't know.
I'm going through the book, Saldaean. Okay.
Yeah. I am definitely not infallible. Like, look it up. I get corrected all the time. But then you have like Terran. All right. So people from Tyr, which could be read as Tear, right? It's spelled in English, T-E-N. And Robert Jordan is an American. He speaks English as his first language. And so T-E-A-R could have been Tear or Tear. Well, according to the glossary, it's Tear.
Yep.
But the people from there are Terran with an A-I. So why isn't it Tear? Why isn't it Tear and they're Terran? And why isn't it Tyran? Some people say Tyran.
That's what I was going to say. I call them Tyrans.
Yeah. Tyrans. Yeah.
Why?
That's an audio. That's from. So for the listeners, just to point out before we start getting different points here, Zul has not listened to audiobooks, whereas Vance and I have. So we're probably going to throw in a few words here that Zul's like, I've not heard someone say that one before. Tyrian is from the audiobooks, isn't it?
I believe so. Yeah, Tyrans, that's how they call them in the audiobooks, yes.
So yeah, there's another one. But as you say, Zul, if it's Tyr, why is it not Tyrians? Why is it Tyrans or however you just? There's so many words going through my head right now.
Tyrans. Yeah, put like an en at the end of Tyr, but he changes the spelling for the word.
Yes.
Tyran.
T-A-I.
Instead of leaving it Tyr or Tear, if you are of that inclination.
And the great thing about these conversations is they happen all the time throughout the fandom. And that's how this podcast idea started.
Absolutely. The three of us were having this conversation, weren't we?
Yes. So, that's some of my bones to pick with Robert Jordan. And then the final E on names.
I think he threw the name in the E in on names just for fun, to be honest.
Well, and that goes back to consistency.
So there's no consistency. So
just to be fair to Robert, these are made up words.
This is true.
Or does that frustrate you more, Zul?
If I was doing made up words, I would have some consistency within the cultures from which they came. At least
that's fair. Yeah,
and I would not have made up my own weird pronunciations in the glossary. I would have used something standard that everyone could understand, and that that has a key to it. Give them a key, and then put that in there. So it'll be interesting to see like what they do with Liana. Is it Liana? Is it Liane?
Well, the actress has said it's Liane, isn't it, rather than Liana?
I was unaware.
Well, I mean, when I read that originally, I just called it Leanne, to be honest.
Yes, same.
I was like, that's too much. I'm just going to call that Leanne. I can't bother to look up everybody's phonetical spelling. I'm looking at the glossary now because for the Saldaea, which is how it's put here in the glossary, Saldaea.
Saldaea, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So S-H-A-L, and then emphasis on day. D-A-Y, and then E-E-A-H, or H, however you want to pronounce that.
Saldaea.
Yeah.
Saldaea. So they're Saldaeans.
Yes.
Saldaeans.
But I have heard other ways of saying that, obviously. But one that's just, I'm looking at Shaitan. And,
oh, yes. It has an extra syllable.
Well, that's actually a real.
It does.
A real world word.
Oh, okay. Is this something I know you've done studies in these sorts of, is it a philosophical thing?
No, it's literally from the Islamic tradition, the pronunciation.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It did add the apostrophe, though. I do not think that's there, unless that's some specific form of like Romanizing it from the Arabic alphabet into the Latin alphabet, so.
Okay, but if you look at Shaitan, which has three syllables, as we've said already, despite being two words or a word with an apostrophe in the middle, but Shaogul is So Shaitan is emphasis S-H-A-Y, mm-hmm. and then I-H, and then emphasis mm-hmm. on the T-A-N. Shail Ghul is spelt, sorry Zul, to hop in there, but it's spelt S-H-Y-O-L, and the emphasis is still S-H-A-Y. So we've got S-H-A-I and S-H-A-Y right. that both have the same emphasis.
Shay.
Ha. Yep.
Not Shy.
Yes, Shay.
Shayatan.
Oh, it is. Yeah, Shayatan. Oh, and everyone says Shaitan, don't they? Shayatan. Yeah.
So is it Shaitan in the audiobook?
It is Shaitan in the audiobook, which is why I say it that way. Yes.
Okay, so let's talk for a minute about the pronunciations from the audiobook. I've heard a couple of interviews with Michael Kramer and Kate Redding, and they said that they had virtually no input from the editors or Robert Jordan on pronunciations. Mm-hmm. And it was basically just, figure it out, do the best you can. Wing it. So their pronunciations are not gospel.
Right. No.
And that's where some people will die mm-hmm. on that hill. This is the way it is in the audiobook, so this is the way it has to be. And I think that's where some people are going to have trouble with the TV show mm-hmm. when it comes out. Whereas, I tend to be more like, well, I'm going to go more with what it says in the glossary because that is the book itself. However, since I see inconsistencies and I know they're working with someone on the TV show, I'm probably going to switch to whatever they say for mm-hmm. the TV show.
Yeah,
I think that's fair. I remember seeing an interview with Michael and Kate where they discussed this, as you say, this sort of just lack of input at the beginning. But they also said when they started recording these books, this was back when, it wasn't apps on your phone and stuff. And they were, in effect, sending physical tapes back and forth across the country. So mm-hmm. you couldn't just pick up the phone and, oh, I've just sent you something quickly. Can you check it for me? And then, or is it this way or that way type thing? And so it wasn't just a case of, well, kind of go take your best guess at it type thing. Mm-hmm. It was also, technology limited them on their ability to quickly pass information back and forth to get things checked.
And even if someone were to listen to it, it would not be easy to go back and change something.
No, not on tape.
On tape. That's physical tape. You can't just go back in. That's not an easy fix.
So two of the biggest changes, when you think about the words that changed over the audible books, Vance, what's the first thing that pops into your mind?
Words that changed over the course of the audiobooks. See, this is hard for me because I didn't do the early audiobooks. I only did the later audiobooks.
Ah, right. Okay.
So it's fairly consistent. Though I will say one name that always sticks out to me, or one pronunciation, is Kate Redding's version of Misana. It goes between Misana to Misana, and that mm-hmm. always kind of pulled me out because she has a fair amount of chapters towards the end. Not that she's like a POV, but she has a fair amount of mentions. Towards the end of the series, she's a pretty big player. And that always pulled me out of the audiobook a little bit because it was just so inconsistent. And and when it was consistent, it was like kind of comically Misana. Not to make fun of Kate here or anything, because that name has two A's in it and it's very, very strange. But yeah, that's just one instance where I'm like, that's not super consistent. And it has changed a little bit from this book to this book. And yeah, so that's one.
Yeah, that's definitely one that I remember. Demon Dread is one that I felt changed over the books a little bit. I feel like at the beginning there was Demon Dread, but I'm sure there was one occasion mm-hmm. where it was Demon Dread as well.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like maybe the first time it was said, and I was like, oh, okay, so that changed. But Mogadine or Megiddian, I think that one changed back and forth a couple times, to be honest. I'm sure it was like Mogadine, then for a couple books it was Megiddian, and then it mm-hmm. went back to Mogadine again.
But it's actually Mogadian.
Yes.
No, yeah, there's not an I, it's mm-hmm. Mogadian. It's supposed to be E-H sound, like eh, in the middle.
Right.
So that one changed a couple times throughout the books. throughout the audiobooks. And was it Kyrian that changed? Kyrianin, I think, is what changed, actually.
Kyrianin.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was Kyrianin and Kyrianin. Yep. And it was like, which one is it? That one's really confusing.
A couple of instances of slips in the later books for that. It's not very often, you know, once you get past like book 7 that they're making those mistakes. But I think there's a, you know, one or two instances where that does occur.
Yeah. As you say, it can pull you out a little bit. I didn't find that too much myself. But a couple of times I was listening and I was just like, oh, okay, well, we've changed how we're saying this. But I noticed more as I listened to people talk about it, because you hear the different ways people say it. And I just, I can hear it more when I listen to the books again. I don't know if you have that experience, Vance, when you go back to the books, you notice the difference in pronunciations more.
I would agree with that. Yes. Especially now that I'm not as focused on, I don't need to know the story when I'm reading through anymore, right? Like, you really need to focus on the story and the plot and the happenings the first time through. So you just do whatever you need to get kind of past any roadblocks. But on subsequent rereads or re-listens, you can start to get a little bit more into what I like to call the weeds and get down into the details and start picking apart these things. Like, either I read it this way previously, or, oh, this was said this way, you know, in this audiobook versus this audiobook over here. So those little details, I think, are things you pick up after you've already read the series, right? And I'm rereading currently on The Dragon Reborn, and I'm noticing all sorts of things, whether it be, you know, little plot nods or foreshadowing bits, or even things that I pronounced specific ways when I started reading, and now that I've been through the books and I'm coming back through, that I find I'm saying them differently. And it makes for an interesting experience.
That is true. I very much agree. Zul, do you ever think you'll listen to the audiobooks?
I think so. In fact, I want to. I tried to download Audible on my phone, and my operating system is not to speed with the current edition. And so I'll have to do it differently. But yeah, I definitely want to. I specifically want to listen to Memory of Light. Just listen through that. I'm in the middle of a reread, so I would love to listen through that and then continue on with my reading of the physical books. I do have a daughter who is doing the audiobooks. She's a student, and she finds that's a good way for her to do it. She does it like while she's going back and forth to class and such, and while she's doing other things, riding a bike. And so I know people experience it that way, and they say it is just a different, you pick up on different things. And so I would love to experience it that way.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know about you, Vance, but some of the scenes with those iconic lines, or just simple things like hearing Moraine tell the story of Nefren, just gives me chills to hear that sort of stuff.
I love to hear people read that. I do.
I definitely agree.
I might be taking a stab at it, Zul. So,
yes.
So it's my current project I'm working on for some narrations, but we'll stick with the podcast for the moment. So we've dabbled a little bit in mispronunciations, words that have changed over the audible books, and different spellings and such. But the last couple of points I wanted to chat with you guys about that I think we both find a lot of fun is swearing in the Wheel of Time, and how you might compare that to, maybe compare it to our swearing, and also the different dialects you get in the books, or different names for creatures as you get to different parts of the world. So should we start with swearing, perhaps? Let's, or should we save that for last?
Yeah,
go for it.
Jump into swearing. Okay, Vance, what's your favorite swear?
I have to say it's probably my favorite one, because Mother's it's so weird.
Same.
The first.
It is. Yeah, that's so true.
The first time I read that, I was like, what is this? Like, I got all of the, like, blood and bloody ashes, or burn you. Like, I get those stand-ins, right? I understand what they're standing in for. But the mother's milk in a cup, or, like, what was the one about the goat milk? There was something about goat milk.
I know there's one that I love, like Spavined goat, something, which is, I love it.
That is
right. Like a, and then I also am quite partial to all of Swan's fish themed swearing. it is so on theme. And it's not something I noticed right off the bat while I was reading through the first time. But upon thinking about it, I'm like, the Andorans use a lot of like goat based animal swearing. But I suppose all the other cultures use them based upon the animals that are prevalent there. So I like to think that Saldaeans have horse based swearing. Now, for example, it's just interesting.
I like that. I like that.
Which would be very interesting to see if, like, the Saldaeans had something where it's like insulting people, like if you can't stay on a horse, whereas the Aiel would be like if you have to ride a horse. You know, they're kind of look at things differently because they never ride. So there's just the different viewpoints on the world causing what you would insult someone with. And that brings to mind one that Matt got through his memories. Spoiler, he gets memories that he uses against the sea folk and calls someone a daughter of the sands. Ooh. Right? And it's like a really bad burn for someone who spends almost all of her or his life on a boat. You know, they try to be born and die on the, on ships, even if it has to be like a rowboat. You know, that's where you go to have your baby because you don't want to have them on land. So to call someone a daughter of the sands is like a really strong insult. So I love that world building aspect.
I agree. I quite like that. It's just interesting that he did build in these kind of cultural insults and or you know, on theme swears into the series, right? Like we can knock him for his cultures not having consistent pronunciations, but I think they have consistent swearing, right? Like that was something I think he did put a little bit of time into it, and I think that's one of the elements of the world building of this series that makes it feel surreal, even though the swears are like totally, I guess we could say, like almost cartoony feeling in the real world. Like they don't feel like they're valid in our world. And that's fine, honestly, because you know what? It's that world. It's this place, and it makes it feel unique and totally something of its own. And I would say, like, obviously for the TV show, I don't think they're going to be able to preserve this. That's my personal viewpoint. I think they can preserve some of the stuff like blood and bloody ashes and possibly the burn use, but I don't think we're going to get, you know, mother's milk in a cup, at least not regularly. It's kind of hard. Maybe some of the more cultural stuff, like you just brought up with the sea folk, Zul, we will see some of that. You know, some of those culture-based insults or slights. But, you know, some of the more egregious, way out there swears, I'm not entirely sure we're going to get.
What do you think, Rob?
Oh, I mean, I can't see all the characters going like mother's milk in a cup, but I can absolutely see, because I feel that it's more like Egwene, Nynaeve, and some of the female characters, I feel, use mother's milk in a cup more than the guys. Am I wrong in that perception?
I was thinking I don't know. Is it? Or was it like Uno? I can see Uno having the most creative.
Uno, they can go crazy with.
They can go crazy with him because he just swears all the time. And I want to see like veins bulging when he's trying not to swear in front of Nynaeve. I want to see that. I want to see him choking, trying to choke it down and not swear. That's going to be hilarious. That's going to be hilarious.
Every other line.
So I can see them having like specific characters being more creative. I mean, you're always going to have Bael Doman, you know, talking about his aged grandmother and things like that. So, and I, yeah. I think they could probably, you know, get in something more culturally based with like the IEL, or, you know, I think they could do that and it would feel more natural.
Yes.
I don't know if I want like the F word thrown in there, you know?
No, I don't want it thrown in there myself.
I'm torn on it. Torn on that.
I mean, to me, when they sort of go, lights or something, that had the same feel to me as the F word.
Right.
So.
But we've also...
You light blinded fool. You know,
we've all also been through
the
series.
That kind of stuff.
Right. You have to think about it from the perspective of the new people coming into the TV show. And for better or worse, our two large franchises we have for the model of this are Lord of the Rings and a Game of Thrones. And so we have to, I think Wheel of Time walks the balance between the two. I think, you know, Game of Thrones is definitely a mature show for a mature audience, and it has that mature theme. Lord of the Rings has mature elements, but they're kind of obfuscated. It's more about the thematic, philosophical concepts of the nature of good and all of that. So it doesn't really dwell on the darkness within it, even though there is some. Whereas with the Wheel of Time, we have an acknowledgement of that. And we also have this perception from a lot of people that it's a completely 100% child-friendly, wholesome series, somehow.
Which it's not.
It has darkness within it. It acknowledges that it has dark subject matter that it covers. And I believe it covers it very well, and it gets quite spooky in some instances, but it doesn't dwell on that. Whereas with, you know, Game of
it doesn't live
like
there.
The Game of Thrones and its ilk tend to live in that realm. That's their focus, I would say. And that's not the focus of the Wheel of Time. It's an element of the Wheel of Time, but it's not the focus of the Wheel of Time. And so we have to walk that line of being able to keep an audience hooked, especially, I mean, really, I think this TV show is going to appeal to the 18 to 35 or 40 crowd the most in terms of bringing in new audience. So you have to.
So I have a question for you. Do you think a lot of the people coming in will be people who maybe grew up with Harry Potter. Right. And so they're used to bloody.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Well,
bloody is a swear word. And so I really think they could throw in bloody for the F word, really anytime, and probably be okay, because that is definitely known as a swear word. It's accepted. It's not seen as weird. I think they could get away with it. Now, what they'll actually do, we'll just have to wait and see. Which I'm fine with. And I'm actually
fine. It fits in the books as well, because they say blood and bloody ashes. So
correct. So, you know, it'll just be like, well, will they do it or not? One thing I would love to see them do is keep Elaine's character, where she grew up in the palace and she's always like trying to listen in on swear words. And it's like, I very rarely swear. And so I know that Lesby Nerdy like giggles if I actually use one in a conversation. She just, it tickles her to death.
I need to be there for that moment. Next time we get Lesby Nerdy in on this as well, and you need to actually swear on the episode, because
the
I need to hear
will
this.
Be constructed to make her giggle the entire time.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
Which I kind of imagine Elaine being more like, okay, like, I was when I was like 13 and like trying out swear words, and it just comes out. It just does. It sounds ridiculous. It sounds wrong, you know? And like, I want to see her do that in front of Matt, like use something that she picked up, you know, from a horse handler or something, a wagon driver.
Yes.
Yeah. And not even have, I love that it's not even sometimes mentioned in the books. It happens off screen.
Yes.
And then suddenly you just hear her try this out. You're like, where did you hear this phrase? You know. And then sometimes people look at me, like, oh my God, you didn't just say that, did you? You know.
Yes.
Yeah, that is definitely a good part of her character. And I definitely agree that needs to be kept in, because it's so much fun to listen to. I'm more on Zul's side of things, that we don't throw in the F-bomb. I think there's lots of options you can throw in there. I mean, if they did and they didn't overuse it, I'd probably be okay with it.
Yeah, that was ultimately the trajectory I was going. Like, I think it can be used to affect, and I think it can have a pretty strong effect if they don't overuse it. It lost everything to me in Game of Thrones, to be completely honest. It was just like, oh, well, watch this week's episode. Yep, they're swearing. They're swearing a lot. Okay. Like, half the script is now swear words. Okay. Uh-huh. This is fine. You know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You can overdo it. And I think, again, this is where, back to the theme of Wheel of Time's, you know, kind of walking a balance here, that's ultimately going to be up to writers to balance the beloved swears from the series that we all know and love with real world versions that won't drive people away and be like, that's cartoony, which is my fear. I do have a little bit of a fear that people will find parts of the Wheel of Time hokey. And specifically that's due to Jordan's writing, not the content of the story or the characters or anything like that. But there are elements of Jordan's writing that are based in that, like, pulpy kind of hokiness that he loved to read when he was young, right? Like, he loved all of those, like, 1930s pulp novels and those adventure stories and stuff like that. And I do think that comes out a little bit in his writing for The Wheel of Time. And I even, like, so I just finished the Warrior of the Altai, and that's a barbarian novel like Conan, which we all know he wrote several Conan novels before embarking on writing The Wheel of Time. And it was very much like leaning into that, this is camp, almost. And, you know, we can find elements of that within The Wheel of Time. And, you know, the swearing is definitely one of those elements, is the point I'm getting to, just to stop my rambling. So,
yeah, no, that's, I can understand that.
Yeah, that's fair.
I want to hear some, you know, bread and buttered onions and you know
bloody buttered onions. That's a fantastic one.
Bloody. For those of you feeling, I was on a Zoom call a few weeks ago with some of the UK-based just fans in general, and buttered onions is not something you want to Google in a
really
a. What's that Urban Dictionary? It's definitely not something you want to Google at Urban Dictionary. I guarantee if you are grossed out easily or you don't enjoy offensive ideas or imagery, you do not Google it. If you're like, do you know what? I don't get grossed out by that, or, you know, I'm up for just looking at weird definitions of words. Then, yeah, go look it up in an Urban Dictionary. And if you find it gross and horrible and hate me for it, you have been warned that I told you shouldn't do that if you get offended by those things. But I got told that, and it's quite a horrible idea. But it's a thing that happens.
Having looked it up, I second you. Don't go look it up.
Oh, Vance.
If you value your lunch, I will.
Yeah, it's exactly, isn't it, man? It's like, oh my gosh. Well, yeah, so
I can tell you I'm not gonna look it up.
Yes, good, please don't, Zul. You know, for just your own sanity's sake. But yeah, that one got dropped to me once, so I enjoy the swearing when they have, you know, buttered onions comes up in the books, because it now has a real world reference for me, and that Jordan obviously did not know about, was not a thing at that time,
right?
And it just makes it very enjoyable for me in the swearing. So well, I definitely want some of those things.
Okay, that brings up a big one: the word taint. Okay, when it has to be said. Are they going to use the word taint in the show? Because when these books came out, and until I got into the fandom, I didn't know that that was a word for a body part, you know, and gross or anything. I just thought, you know, it means that something is soiled, right? So when I was reading in the 90s, it meant nothing except for it's soiled. And so, and I don't know how with teenagers, I didn't come across, in teaching teenagers, I don't know how I didn't become aware that this was something. I'm sure they all know, but I didn't until I got into the fandom a year ago. So do you think that they'll use that term? Since we're talking language.
I mean, it still has a valid and real world definition. I mean,
it does.
I mean, I hear people talk of tainted food all the time.
But so, but so does gay.
Yeah,
gay can mean, you know, happy. That's something that, that changed from my parents' time to mine, which gay just meant happy. And then it changed, you know, to homosexual. So is that something that they're going to have to change with the time?
Yeah, possibly. It is possible. It's one that I don't want them to. I want them to lean into it. I want them to own it a little bit. But at the same time, I'm a little bit out of the cusp of the generation that finds that funny. Because when I was reading the books, this was, I started in 05, and I read that, and I took it to mean as what Jordan was writing it to mean, right? Like, the male half of the source is tainted, it's vile, you know, there's something wrong with it.
Yes.
It cannot be used without causing some sort of illness. And it wasn't until I was almost out of college that the word taint become like that, like a meme online, people talking about it and making jokes with it. I mean, I was just like, I don't get it. And I don't get why it's funny. And I think that was one of my first things where I thought to myself, I've become old. I do not understand.
No,
today I say being only in my 30s.
I'm only in my 30s as well. I'm 35. I don't find it funny. I never, when I read the books, never considered that myself. I hear, so I'm an avid listener of the Black Tower podcast, boys, and that is definitely not a PG podcast. It's not as non-PG as Twotcast, whereas that's definitely an R18, very much an R18, or a mature, whatever
mature
the appropriate
audience.
Mature audience. Mature. It's most definitely that. Whereas the Black Tower podcast guys just swear a lot, basically.
Make innuendos.
They make innuendos. The Twotcast guys describe the innuendo in detail. That's the best way to make the difference.
Okay.
But so the Black Tower podcast boys, they use the word tainted a lot. Obviously, the Black Tower kind of, you know, men channeling it all kind of makes sense.
Fun, but
yes,
yeah, occasionally the body part reference comes up, but even listening to it, when, you know, it's like, oh, no, this taint, not that taint sort of thing. It's not, it doesn't make me then automatically read the books and think the wrong type of taint, I suppose, is the way to describe that. You know, so I don't feel that as long as they handled it in a sensible way in the show, which I don't see any way they could possibly put in the other version without just being stupid and ridiculous and crashing and burning the show in the process. I don't see it being a massive issue. It's not something I'd considered, to be honest, until you brought it up, Vance.
Yeah, well, and I mean, back to like when I first really heard the jokes about it in regards to the Wheel of Time, it was Daniel Green who actually made the joke at first when he was, you know, first getting started talking about Wheel of Time. I think he had a series called Watt Talk back then, and it came up a lot. During that, and I was just I was like, I don't get the humor. I just it's not on my humor spectrum. I'm sorry, everybody. I must be really fun at parties.
You're a gleeman. You're always fun at parties, Vance.
Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
That's extra poignantly for me because I'm living in the city where that Oasis song was a massive hit and they play it constantly up here. And then where I go back down south, people are like, oh, I hate Oasis. I hate Wonderwall. And
it's much
I like that. Thank you. Sorry, Zul, you were going to say something just before.
All right. So we have talked about swear words.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to move on to words that are different words for the same thing, but they're different because they're from different places?
Oh, so you mean like different names for a murderer, for example?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is a
world building aspect that I like. If someone says if someone is talking about a Myrdral, and which has a fantastic spelling. Thank you for the double R, double A, yes. Robert Jordan.
Sometimes I think it's got a double Y as well when I type it.
And yeah, no, exactly. No, it's all these it's like MYRDRRAAL. I mean, really? Yeah. Okay. So if they're called a fade, they're from Andor. If it's a fetch, I know that Fael called it a fetch, but that is an Ilianer term. The Eyeless is Borderlanders. Lurks, that's Tyr. Nightrunners is Aiel. And my favorite is Neverborn, the Wolves. There's also Halfman and Shadowman. Which, is Shadowman also Aiel? Dance with me, Shadowman?
That feels right, actually. But, I mean, Shadowspawn seem to have, they're definitely ones that have a lot of different names, depending on where you are.
Right.
Although, obviously, Rand seems to have a sort of general collection of names, depending on which culture he's taking over at that particular point, shall we say.
True. True. That's another excellent example. Yep. All the different names. I mean, he's not just the Dragon Reborn.
No, it's He Who Comes with the Dawn. Karakarn.
Kormor.
Yeah. Oh, God, that one was so long. Karakarn. What was it, Andrew from the Black Tower, used to say? Karakorn. Caracorn, that was it.
Yeah, Caracorn. Candy corn. It makes sense. He has orange hair.
That's really right.
White, and there we go.
There we go.
And then his jackets all have yellow dragons on them. We've done it. We solved it. Rand equals candy corn.
Absolutely.
There you go. Hot take.
So, do you have a favorite one for Myrdral?
Mine is, I'm always torn between fade and Neverborn. So casual use, I would say a fade. And then if I wanted to up the wow factor or scare factor, I would say Neverborn. Those are the two I go for. What about you, Vance?
One, I like Nightrunners because I think the Aiel just, they nailed it with that one. But one that just kind of always stuck out to me was Lurks from Tyr. That's just like, you think about it, and they're like, they call them lurks because they lurk in the shadows, and there's shadows everywhere, and they're lurking around. It's just like, that actually,
that's super creepy.
My least favorite would be fetches, I have to say. I think that's probably the worst one for me personally. If you happen to like that one, you know, keep on liking it. You do you.
That's fair. What are your favorites also?
Well, I would say I really like Myrdral. Fade is fine. I understand all of them, but I really love Neverborn. And also I love the Borderlander phrase, the look of the eyeless is fear. So, you know, it's sounds kind of plain eyeless because they are, but I like that phrase. So that's going to be one for me.
Nice. Do you know, I'm looking through, now that we've just talked about the Myrdrals, I'm looking through the other Shadowspawn, and they only have single names. So you've got Darkhounds, you've got Golems, you've got Trollocs. Now, the Trollocs have different bands, but they're still just called Trollocs. So it's quite,
Trollocs do have a different name.
Yes, the Wolves have their own names for the Darkhounds and the Trollocs, I think, but that's the only variation there, and we would expect that giving their wolves, not people.
They're descriptive. The dark one
he does, of course. We have the dark one to start off with, and then we touched on Shaitan earlier, father of lies,
the Aiel call him sight blinder and leaf blighter. So interesting. So those are, we come into contact with those both in the Eye of the World. And it's interesting that Sightblinder is one, and then you have, he's going to blind the Eye of the World, right?
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And Leaf Blighter, if you think about the blight, you know, and it's just like decay and what that evil does to the world. So
he's got a very interesting set of names. So obviously we've got Sightblinder by the Aiel with Leaf Blighter. There is Father of Lies, Lord of the Grave, Lord of the Twilight, Shepherd of the Night, Heartsbane, Soulsbane. Mm-hmm. The wolves call him Heartfang. There's Old Grim, Grassburner, the Afian Mir, which I probably said wrong, call him Father of Storms. The Shanshen call him Kaysen Hob or Old Hob. And they also call him Light Eater and Soul Blinder. Soul Blinder.
Yeah.
So I like that one. I like that one. That's very descriptive. I like reminding people that he's the father of lies when they're trying to put together, because we have the unreliable narrator, and you don't, you know, you don't get someone saying this is exactly what it is. Some of our information is coming through a character from what we get from the side of evil. So, you know, you're going to get Baal Zemon Ishmael lying to you, right? Because he's on the side of the father of lies. So he's going to lie to you to get you to sign the dotted line, and then you are effed up. You know, that's it. It really shows how important and powerful these two things are, the Dark One and Myrdral. The fact that even if people don't really believe that these things exist or have influence, at some point they did, because they all have their own stories and their own names for them.
I'm just trying to find the list of wolf names, but I thought they called everything, but I'm struggling to find it, to be honest. They have so many names for everything.
A specific list of wolf names out there.
Yep.
We'll have to get Nablus on that the Great Blight.
You'll
have to sort that out for us. We need a wolf wiki.
Exactly, a wolf wiki. I like it.
I think that'd be great. We definitely need an article all about the wolves, including what they call all, you know, different things and different people.
Is there any other characters or things that come with multiple names that we want to discuss? I'm trying to think. Obviously, the Forsaken have, you know, a few different names.
Yes, they do. I mean, like, Bilal is like the Net Weaver, which is really weird because we don't know why he's the Net Weaver.
Because he's
that is true.
Because he's so ineffectual, he doesn't actually. I don't know.
I mean, is he originally from, you know, the Age of Legends version of Tyr?
Well, that's where he does.
His father was a fisherman.
That's where he does set up.
Yeah.
You know, there we go. He sets
in the Stone of Tyr, but you know, he was setting a trap.
I guess that could be it.
So is that why he's kind of within his character of being the Net Weaver? I'm not sure.
Maybe he's a trap setter. That could be it.
But then you've got Mogadine,
who's
the spider.
And you would think with her being the spider spinning a web, you would also like metaphorically consider that a net. And you would think maybe that's what she should be.
Yes.
But anyway, that one always,
web spinner. So we have the Net Weaver and the web spinner.
We do. It has four or five different names.
Right. And they all generally, we think of her things to do with night or the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So she's pretty much on theme there with all of her, you know, nicknames.
Yeah. I think we've covered that fairly well.
Yep.
Is there anything else you guys want to bring up while we're all here?
I do have a bone to pick with Jordan. Zul'Dan.
Okay. Oh.
Yep. Okay.
Sorry, Jordan. You get all these bones.
Yeah, right. And it has to deal with Aes Sedai, whose names begin with the letter S, who are all sitters of Aja's at one point or another. So, should I read the list off that I prepared for this? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I had a feeling that was a list.
All right. So, these are the current sitters, or were at least a sitter at some point during the story when we are reading. They are Saren Aznabar, Sain Harriman, Saroya Farsin, Sidor Dejena, Suana Dragand, Salita Taranes, and Samalin Neroda. Of these, two of them are sitters of the White Aja, Sain and Saroya, and then three of them are sitters for the Yellow, Sidor, Suana, and Salita. Now, this gets complicated because of the tower split, so you have multiple sitters of the different Ajas, and you've got to, you know, do some mental gymnastics to remember who's where and whose name means what and what they're doing all the time. But it doesn't stop there, because moving on into the history of the Wheel of Time, we have Sorel Bagand and Sierin Vayu, who are both historical Aes Sedai. And moving into non-sitter Aes Sedais, whose names start with S, we have Serenia and Serene Nemedal. So, yes, that's a short list. I'm sure there are more, but all of these people are named characters, are talked to or talked about at various points. And it was one of the points in the later books where I was like, why are there so many characters whose name begins with the letter S, and why are they all relatively powerful and doing something? I'm so confused. Yes. Jordan, what is with the letter S? Anyway,
yes.
that's my bone to pick. If y'all want to add any more, please feel free.
Well, you've made me really concerned now, because I was talking to Null a while back about names, and I said, oh, when I read A Song of Ice and Fire, I got really confused between Tywin and Tyrion Lannister. I couldn't remember which was which. And then I watched the TV show, and it sort of sorted it out for me, and it did that for a lot of names. But Wheel of Time it's not that bad with names, I don't think, actually. Like, you get, you know, and ever since then, it's like at least once a week, I just get something like this where people are like, oh my god, the names or the characters or these places, and I'm like, oh crap, what have I done? I've dropped him in. I've secretly dug a giant pit under him and not told him.
Well, I do know that with the show, like, for instance, they have changed the name of one warder so that his name won't be close to the same name as the nephew of Tom, who is stilled by the Red Aja. So they want to try to avoid that. And so they might change some names. And we also know they're going to reduce the cast of characters.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that in that reduction, that they will combine some of these characters who are in, you know, we won't see as many Aes Sedai who are named. And maybe we'll get some who are not S's mixed in there with the S's and make them a little more differentiated.
Well, we've already got some easier names going on. We've got, Dana instead of Dina, you know, obviously to make things easier.
No, we don't know that. Nope. No.
And we have Steve.
There is no evidence that Dana is Dina.
I know. I'm just throwing out the funny names. Sorry.
And there is one more thing with names that people, it's something you brought up earlier. It's like where Jordan takes out a letter. So like you said, Lewis, and it's lose. So there's no I there. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to read off some that are similar to our names that trip a lot of people up just because they add the letters back in. So we have Samuel instead of Samuel. Arthur instead of Arthur. And then of course there's Loghain instead of Logan, so there's added in a letter. Birgitta is something that trips a lot of people up. They're like, was it Bridget, is it Birgitta, is it Birgitta? Maybe it's Birgitta. So that actually is a name in our day and age, but not commonly used. Olver is not Oliver.
Yes.
And Emmond. Emmond's Field. It's not Edmund's Field. There's not another D in there. So those are some that I think people struggle with just because their use, it's so close to something we already have.
Yeah.
And that is my last bone to pick with Robert Jordan.
So I often fall into the I'm better with the lose, especially when Zul is around. In fact, I even did it in a podcast, and it was the instant. That was my first feedback I ever received on this podcast was Zul telling me it's not Lewis, it's lose, and it's not Arthur, it's Arthur. And I'm like, oops, sorry. And I used to be terrible for saying Hawking instead of Hawkwing.
Exactly. A lot of people do that. A lot of people do that.
So, yeah, like, I was like, guilty of those.
Like Stephen Hawking.
Yes, exactly. That was my instant thought process. I've never heard of people changing Loghain to Logan. So that's, but I can absolutely see where you've gone
I've
from
actually
there.
Never had problems with that one. So,
And that is another instance where you have that AI as one long A and it's not Loghain.
Yes, correct. It's so, Loghain. Loghain.
It's Loghain.
Tame, right? No.
Yes, no,
it does tame,
no,
tame.
It's not tame.
Let me dream.
or is it Demandred? Because wasn't Tame going to be Demandred at one point?
Oh,
Tame and Dred, yeah.
Tame and Dred, yes. Still right. Could be. We don't know.
Oh, yes, that's a whole other episode.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I have to say, this has been a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed having you guys on. Zul, why don't, if anybody wants to follow Zul for her critiquing ability, which is always welcome, never a problem. Zul, let us know where we can find you or hunt you down.
Well, yeah? I prefer for people to interact with me on Discord. So okay. I happen to mod for several Discords. And
she means almost all of them.
No, not really. you can definitely find me on the Wheel Reads Discord. That is a podcast for first-time readers and veteran readers alike. But it is a spoiler-free podcast. And you can also find me on the Dusty Wheel Discord. You can also find me on Malkier Talks Discord.
Yes.
Lesbian Nerdy. You know, there are a bunch of places, you know, that you could find me like that. So I am Zul. There is no Dana, only Zul. Mm-hmm. Just remember that.
And there is one Garen Stonewolf.
Occasionally there is a Garen Stonewolf. That is true. But if you look up Zul,
there we go.
You'll still find me.
Absolutely.
And that's Z-U-U-L, Zul.
Am I right in presuming that this is the Ghostbusters reference is where this comes from?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Good, because that's what I've always envisioned. I've just got that scene from Ghostbusters, and I'm just like, yes, perfect reference. And I've never asked, so I thought I would ask.
There we go.
That's it.
Wonderful. And Vance, why don't you tell our listeners where they can find yourself and all the wonderful things you do as well.
So again, this has been Vance from the Gleeman. We are a YouTube channel. I have a show with my co-host, Drew. And we do Wednesday long form episodes, podcast style, where we just discuss things about the Wheel of Time in general. We also have a podcast now, so those episodes get released in audio form if you would be so inclined to go pick them up. That is also just called The Gleeman. And then I am on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at The Gleeman. As well as being on all of the Discords. I'm in Malkier Talks Discord, The Wheel Reads, Dusty Wheel, another 20 that I don't feel like going off and naming them all.
Nameless, let's not forget Nameless.
Mm-hmm. Nameless, yes.
Yep. What, you know, the Watt Spoilers, Fox and Raven Farm.
Yep. They're all spoilers, out there. There's 20 plus, probably 30 plus now.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
It's phenomenal. And then also, I have a creator page over at thegreatblight.com, as I'm sure Malkier Talks here does as well. So if you have not been over to The Great Blight, roll over and check it out. That's Nablus's website he's putting together. And I'm excited for the things that are happening over there. We're still figuring out a lot of things as everything moves on, but ultimately I'm excited for the conversation about the show. To hopefully be able to congregate over there. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah.
So I have one question for you, Vance. Have you opened a Discord yet?
No, I do not have a public Discord yet, though I am toying around with one, the idea of one behind the scenes. I'm trying to figure out how to make it work without purchasing a bot. That's the number one thing, because I have no income from any of this. So...
Yeah, there are some good free bots out there, so we will discuss after the show if you need I'm what I spent with the assistance of Zool, which is why we call her such a star. She helps so many people with this sort of stuff. Yeah, I spent quite a while trying to tweak mine to do what I wanted it to do. So awesome. I'm more than happy to help you. Guys, as you've been listening, you know, Discord is clearly the place to find us, especially if you want any input or any feedback to Zool, because, you know, that is where she roams. That is where she can be found. And if you can contact her and get a conversation going, I guarantee you will not regret it. Hop onto Discord. The link for myself and for all Advance's stuff will be in there, and obviously you'll be able to find Zool if you go through that as well. So do hop into Discord and join us. If you want to give us any feedback, please send me an email, malkirtalks@gmail.com, if you don't want to post something onto the Twitter, which is @malkiriR. I hope you've enjoyed listening. If you'd like to support what I do, please hop over to the Ko-Fi page. Or if you feel like you want some merchandise, I have a frosted mug and various other bits and pieces. Again, all the details in the description to the show. But Zool, Vance, I want to thank you once again for being on. I'm sure we'll do this again, with maybe a couple extra people that, we will leave as a silent possibility tease at the moment. We'll get together again soon, and I'm sure we'll just talk in general in the Discord servers, where you guys should come and join us as well. So it's goodbye from me, and my guests, if you'd like to say cheerio as well.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye, all. Have a great